Coming up on today's Family.ie radio magazine, maybe you're reluctant or intimidated to set up a personal budget. If one thing should be clear to all of us, it's that ignorance is not bliss. Stick around for some more tips on some simple whys and hows of budgeting.
You know, we kind of have this attitude sometimes, ignore it and it'll go away.
Yeah.
So if you ignore the problem, somehow it'll solve. Now, I think in a small minority of cases that happens, but for most people, unless you address the problem in a planned, disciplined, fairly focused way, it will continue. In fact, it will get worse.
We'll hear more about that in a moment. And stay with us for more as we explore freedom from bullying. How can you or your kids avoid becoming a target?
Bullies are highly selective of who they target, and they're looking for someone that they can attack and get away with. A bully is not looking for a fight. They pick a kind of person who they're pretty sure they can overwhelm.
And in our third segment today, some people would say that quote-unquote sexual freedom for girls is empowerment, but we'll be back to explore the concept that sex is sexist.
The amount of parents who are raising children alone, it's just devastating, really. And that's having an impact on all the children that are being raised with just one parent and the longing that they feel for that parent then.
That's all ahead on today's edition of Family.ie Radio Magazine. Welcome once again to today's edition of Family.ie. I'm Ronan Johnston. You know, when it comes to budgeting, often it can be very intimidating. Probably the biggest fallacies are either 1, that you don't make enough money to need a budget, or 2, that you do make enough money so you don't need a budget. Everyone needs a budget, but maybe the word itself is a bit off-putting. Call it what you like, but perhaps if you think of it simply as a spending plan, it will help. To offer some more advice on how to set up a realistic budget, over once again to Dr. Philip O'Regan and our own Stephen Cardy.
Let's assume that either we're reluctant or we feel uneducated or incapable of doing it. It's not that complicated, as you said already.
Mm-hmm. For most people, there's never a problem on the income side.
Yes.
When I say it's never a problem, I mean it's never a problem to note. We usually wish we had more, but that's a separate issue.
Yes.
The problem is really on the expenditure side. The importance of a budget is that, first of all, it shows you how much you're spending. Secondly, it gives you a figure against which you can work. So you can say to yourself, look, I'm spending, or we as a family are spending, €400 a week on whatever. Maybe it's food. Well, for most families, you'll be able to find something, I think, where you might be able to cut something. Well, that's a start.
Yes.
And that just gradually begins to allow you to eat into the overspend every month. Once you get the overspend under control, you can start to deal with outstanding debt. That's typically. So if you go to a place like MABS, the Money Advice and Budgeting Service, that's the kind of advice that they're going to give you. Get your day-to-day expenditure under control. Do that as efficiently as you can, but give yourself a number to aim for. If you just keep spending and ignoring it, it'll just keep running over and over and over.
For me, I love going out for a coffee and so on. And you know, like, do that twice a day and you're into €7 a day. That's €35 a week. That's nearly €2,000 a year.
That's right.
That can pay for a nice family holiday if I stop eating coffee, if I just drink water from the tap.
Exactly. I think that's really common, Stephen. I think particularly post-economic crash, I think that's really fairly common for a lot of families. So maybe they're down to one income instead of two. I'm aware of one family in a fairly similar situation to that who were very disciplined for 6 days a week. And then they allowed themselves the luxury of a treat once a week. Mm. The problem was that the treat was a dinner in a fairly plush restaurant, which, you know, when 5 or 6 of them were sitting down, it was going over €100 and was completely breaking the budget that they had set out and been really disciplined over. So I think one of the real lessons to take out of that is it is a discipline. This is something where you're trying to control primarily your expenditure and you need to be consistent. Now, you do need to have treats. Mm. You do. It can't be this awful drudge.
Yes.
But they have to be small and they have to be balanced.
Well, one of the things, Philip, that we've spoken of in previous programmes is the fact that some of the most valuable things that we can do as a family don't actually cost anything. Mm-hmm. You know, going to the beach.
Absolutely.
You might have to buy an ice cream or two or, you know, a bag of chips or whatever, but it's not, it's not going to break the bank.
That's something that was quite common and that we lost over a period. And it's possible to reclaim that. I think there are a lot of fairly simple entertainments families can have that needn't be hugely expensive. But it's almost a mentality, Stephen, and it is something where, I don't want to generalise now, but where Irish people can probably reclaim a lot of good practices from maybe 10 or 15 years ago when we didn't expect all of these extras, where it didn't have to be two or three foreign holidays, and we could manage with something less.
Philip, let's say we envisage a couple who are typically at 25. They're considering getting married. They might both have a job at this present time, and therefore they're comfortable. Mm-hmm. And let's assume that they're on the average wage. You know, they've got a good income for themselves at this stage, and they're going to face much bigger expenditures down the road, which they might not be thinking about right now. What should they be thinking about?
I suppose the most immediate benefit that comes to mind is that investment in your 20s and 30s is hugely beneficial for when you eventually retire. Now, most people in their 20s and 30s don't want to think about retirement. It seems that far away.
Yes.
But the savings that couples in particular will make if they invest with that kind of mentality that early in their lives are huge, and is probably the best money-saving advice that you could give a couple.
Yeah, and doesn't it help them, Philip, if they have a joint mindset in relation to the management of their money, that they share their future?
Absolutely, and that's the real perspective to have, that it is something where they're engaging in this together. It's something where they have to make often quite painful decisions together, but they both know that they're buying into this. On the one hand, they're solving potential problems, but also they're dealing with something that most individuals, never mind couples, do not want to deal with. Most people, and I would say this is not untypical for Irish people with our kind of slightly blasé attitude, that, you know, we kind of have this attitude sometimes, ignore it and it'll go away.
Yeah.
So if you ignore the problem, somehow it'll solve. Now, I think in a small minority of cases that happens, but for most people, unless you address the problem in a planned, disciplined, fairly focused way, it will continue. In fact, it will get worse.
Yes, it has been said that the lottery is nothing more than a tax on people who are bad at maths. Of course, that probably doesn't stop most of us from at least dreaming of having our ship come in. The reality of the matter is, though, setting up a realistic budget is something everyone can do. Yes, it takes a little time and a little effort, but the rewards are very real. If you just need some more confidence in how to go about it, just a little reminder that you'll find loads more information at family.ie. That's www.family.ie. We need to take a quick break right now, but coming up next...
You know, there's probably a propensity for one type of person to be bullied and another type of person perhaps to be bullied.
How can you or your kids avoid becoming a target? And what can bystanders do to change things for the better? We'll find out more about this after a quick break. So keep it tuned right here for more on today's edition of Family.ie Radio Magazine. Welcome once again to our Family.ie Radio Magazine. We turn now to another article. You know, when it comes to bullying, often there's an attempt to help the target better understand and even feel sorry for the bully. And while it's only natural to try and determine the motivation, it doesn't usually bring any relief whatsoever to the target. Here's Frank Peretti.
And the point isn't why they torment you. The point is to torment you because you're smaller, because you have a rare blood type, because you pick apples on your way home, you sing a particular song, you wear a particular sweater, you can't throw or catch a football, you can't run fast, you don't have the right clothes, or maybe just because you're different. Whatever that's supposed to mean. And the stabs come, and the pain comes, and the insults come, and you hurt every day. And don't you love the little band-aids that you hear? Well, just ignore them. Ever tried ignoring them? Yeah, you can kind of do that, but the pins and the stabs and the arrows go in anyway, and you feel it, even if you act like you don't. Well, just stay away from them. Oh, yeah, right. Like, I have a choice which lunchroom I'm going to sit in, which squad I have to line up in, which desk I have to sit in, which direction I have to walk home from school.
And no doubt if you or a loved one have been the target of bullying, you can certainly relate to those feelings of being trapped. To hear more of Frank Peretti's story, head over to family.ie and click on Hope Story on the Freedom from Bullying page. So far today, we've pointed out some of the types of bullies. We've also looked at their motivations, which sometimes can actually be very sinister. But who are the likely targets of bullying? And are there steps to take to make a hard target, or better yet, none at all?
Isla asked me earlier, you know, so have you bullied or have you been a bully? And I had to really think, you know, gosh, I remember being bullied, because that sticks out in your head more because you've suffered. But was I a bully? Well, I had to think about that a bit harder, because I wasn't going to be hurt by it as much. I was probably going to have a bit of a laugh. And if I do, if it's confession time, I was possibly guilty of social bullying, which is basically that fine art of isolating people who maybe weren't in the in-group at a certain time. You know, in younger years, sure, we're all guilty of that, particularly maybe the girls. I don't know. But it happens, and it happens a lot. I mean, I'm a parent. I have a girl of 11. It happens a lot in her peer group. I'm sure, Isla, you've experienced that with your girls. Girls are fantastic at that, social bullying.
Yes, and it's much more likely, I think, that type of bullying is much more likely to happen with the girls than the lads. But the social bullying and the exclusion is actually very painful for the target, for the person.
For the target, yes, but not for the bully. Because, you know, you're happy in your little circle.
Yes.
And you think, oh, well, they wouldn't even like it anyway because they wouldn't understand or they wouldn't get it or they're not funny. It gives you some sense. And that's the power. I mean, I can relate to feeling that little bit of power in those teen years. And nobody challenged me on that.
You know, there's probably a propensity for one type of person to be bullied and another type of person perhaps to be bullying.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, people who are out of the ordinary, if you like, if they're out of the ordinary because they're short or because they're bigger than normal or they're not part of the in crowd. Anybody who is, let's say, outside the accepted norm is much more easily targeted by a bully. And bullies know how to find a target.
A target is actually a non-assertive orientation toward others. They don't show a lot of confidence or strength, usually through body language. And bullies know this. Bullies are highly selective of who they target. And they're looking for someone that they can attack and get away with. A bully is not looking for a fight. A bully is looking to overwhelm. And they pick a kind of person who they're pretty sure they can overwhelm.
They may, of course, not be that assertive or that aggressive, and hence they're targeted in many ways. But by and large, you know, if we didn't have any bullies, we would have no pure victims. I mean, we would probably all the time have a group of sort of bully victims, because these are the reactive characters.
And any parent who's listening to this can identify areas, maybe where their own particular child is in a situation that's vulnerable, that you can do something about. You can't do anything about maybe the attitude of the bully, but at least you can make sure that your child isn't going to school with a sign on saying, pick on me.
Yeah. I suppose that is interesting about the target. And I have to say as well, from another family member, I had a family member in my own family who's younger than me, very often the target for bullying. You know, as a family, we were always saying, why is this happening? Like, you know, perfectly lovely girl, never in any kind of trouble. Why is this happening? So that's a big question. Why is your child the one to get bullied? Why are you the one to get bullied, to get picked on easily?
The provocative victim or the bully victim then is a child who's much more reactive, and they may be inclined, for example, to interpret gestures and cues in a more hostile manner, and they would react very angrily. They may not necessarily have the sort of social skills that allows them to manage their anger as well. And essentially, they are much more explosive. They aren't that smart, perhaps, in how they join in on groups and so on. So in a sense, they can be slightly socially clumsy. They could have special needs. And then, of course, what they do is they go in on a counterattack. And they will admit to this. So it's not as if people is pointing a finger at them and saying, oh, yes, you're a bully too. But these children, when they're presented with a questionnaire, will say, yes, I am being bullied, but yes, I bully. And there are a group of children then, there's much fewer of them than the pure victims, but they require much more sort of like therapeutic intervention than the pure victim, who in a sense, there's nothing wrong with the pure victim, you know. That child is simply somebody who could even be exercising the best of coping skills, but is then subjected to an extraordinary abuse of power.
Mm-hmm.
So there is nothing really that they can do other than ask for adult intervention, for example.
So if you spot that in your child, I suppose that's the next big question. What can you do to help your child if they're like that?
Well, the number one thing that the target can do is realize that there's really nothing they can do about the intent of the bully. You can't necessarily stop them from the interview, but the number one area that targets need to be aware of is the positioning of the bully. They have control over that. They can avoid bullying hotspots. We train targets how to appear more assertive, so they're less attractive to the bully, and that in no way, shape, or form are we blaming the target for the behavior. Rather, we're just helping them put it in context, because by putting it in context, we can help them escape the theater of bullying.
And no doubt most of us do indeed want freedom from bullying. We need to take a final break now, but just a reminder that you'll find loads more information at family.ie. That's www.family.ie. Coming up next, we'll be back to explore the concept that sex is sexist.
As much as it affects the boys, it's not as significant as it does affect the girls, because they can end up with significant gynecological problems in terms of what we call a PID, pelvic inflammatory disease.
Stay tuned for the final segment of today's edition of Family.ie Radio Magazine. Welcome once again to today's edition of Family.ie. Just a word of warning, we will be covering some mature topics today, so if you have much younger listeners around you, you may want to make sure that they're out of earshot. You know, when it comes to so-called sexual freedom, what we're beginning to see is that it's often a misnomer. Oftentimes, the cost of sexual promiscuity is very high, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and physically. And when you stop and look at the wide range of issues, you begin to see that in many ways, the brunt of the cost is carried by women. As the authors of the book our series is based on, Girls Uncovered, suggest, sex is sexist. Medical doctor Bim Afolabi joins us once again, along with Anne-Marie Miles, Jennifer Leach and Claire Hargadon.
It isn't that I judge people for what they're doing. It's rather that I feel maybe there could be something that's more true to who they really are, or something that's more wholesome and full of trust, you know?
One thing that I'll tell my children, and I repeat them, is that life is about choices, and you cannot stay neutral. You have to make a choice. It's either you do or you don't. And every choice comes with a consequence. It's either it's a good consequence or it's a bad consequence, but there will be a consequence. Some consequences are not grievous, some are grievous, and some consequences live long after you. And because you can have generation after generation still bearing the consequence of a choice that you made. And that is why it's important, to kind of be careful about some of these things, and not just to be body driven. Because if we're just letting our body drive us, we're going to end up in problems, and we're seeing it all around us.
It's like, for me, the issue, for example, of one night stands, which is really prevalent as well. But for me personally, I would really struggle to have sex with somebody who wouldn't be there if I was pregnant. It's a big risk every time most people have sex.
Yeah,
that's a risk. And the amount of parents who are raising children alone because their partners are not interested is... it's just devastating, really. Mm-hmm. And that's having an impact on all the children that are being raised with just one parent, mm-hmm. and the longing that they feel for that parent, mm-hmm. then,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And all those deep longings for intimacy, you start to see a cycle there then.
As much as it affects the boys, it's not as significant as it does affect the girls, because they can end up with significant gynecological problems in terms of what we call a PID. PID is pelvic inflammatory disease, whereby this bacteria, either trichomonas, syphilis, any of those things, spread beyond the genital area into the reproductive system. And then it spreads into the tubes, into the fallopian tube, and to the ovary side, and cause huge inflammatory process and infection and abscess. And the problem is you end up with the tubes getting blocked, and then you still end up with fertility problems.
My grandmother got married at 16, and she had her first child at 17, and then went on to have another 12 children. you certainly wouldn't hear of that nowadays. Mm-hmm. And because there are so many more opportunities for women to work and education, that people are leaving it until, well, when I was getting married, it was, you know, wait till, you know, you can afford your first house, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. put a deposit down and get on the house ladder. And for men too, people are not willing to commit in relationships. And in one sense, you can understand that, because, you know, divorce causes so many hassles and problems and emotional displacement, that I think people in general are much more reluctant to commit.
Sometimes when these girls come for their repeat prescription and whatever it is, and for some reason I just ask them, do you actually know how this thing works? Mm-hmm. It's like, I actually don't care
how it works.
As long as I don't get pregnant.
Yeah.
And, you know, IVF and fertility treatment is very expensive.
Yeah.
And it's not only expensive financially, it's expensive emotionally.
Yeah.
It's emotionally draining, yeah. and there's no guarantee that it's going to work.
I know people who've been through it 3 or 4 times.
Yeah. And people can actually save them all of that, you know, by, you know, just wait. and just do things, you know, at the appropriate, because we need to stop and think of what benefit is this to me, mm-hmm. in every area, physically, emotionally, spiritually, everywhere. And if we can analyze it that way, mm-hmm. I think most of us and the young girls and the young boys will make a better choice and better decision for their life.
We need people in our lives to talk to us. Mm. We need parents telling us that you can be deceived by a momentary moment with somebody, you know, whether you're flattered by them or not, where you might say, well, you know, I would never, ever go with that person. Mm-hmm. And yet they may look at you and they may say, you look absolutely fantastic. And because everybody else is off with people, you might think, oh, well, it might not be so bad. Mm-hmm. So it's a very, very, very hard one, mm-hmm. Anne-Marie, because we all long to be special to mm-hmm. someone.
Unfortunately, so many girls have that dream shattered very early in life and go on to settle for so much less than they deserve. The truth is, though, it's not too late. We sincerely believe that lives can be changed, hope can be found, and purpose can be realised. As a matter of fact, if you head over to family.ie, you'll find the hope story of a girl named Mary.
One night, while I was out on a Saturday night, and I was really, really drunk, and there was a song, and the lyrics were, "Yes, I see you crying, and I feel your broken heart. I can see you're hurting, still you choose to play the part." And I knew, because I was great at putting on the mask and pretending I was the party girl and everything was okay, but inside I was dying. I was really, really hurting.
Again, just click on Hope Story when you go to the page for this programme series, Girls Uncovered, at www.family.ie. For copies of this audio series and many others, free to listen to or download for later, we hope you'll head over to family.ie. You'll also find many helpful links and resources for every member of your family. If you can't find what you're looking for, contact us. We're honoured to help in any way we can. Again, that's family.ie. All of the features and programmes you've heard about today simply would not be possible without the generosity of our supporters. So a big thanks to you for helping us as we help strengthen individuals and families throughout Ireland. We'd love to hear from you, by the way. Our text comment line is 086 251 6886 or email us radio@family.ie. That's 086 251 6886 or radio@family.ie. So until next time, on behalf of Stephen Carty and our entire team, I'm Ronan Johnston. Slán go fóill. Thank you for listening to family.ie.